Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. Look, we got some people hyped about the Giants. I've told you I can sell a 2025 Giants. I don't know if I could do it better than Larry Bear. But maybe there's a job there for me. I could always use an extra check or two. Shout out to everybody out there listening on the Odyssey app, those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And do not forget the 95.7 The Game Knockout Tournament is back. The second annual 95.7 The Game Knockout Tournament. You can win a chance to shoot some hoops on the floor at Chase Center. The throne reigning champion, Mark Grandy, of course, and the contest starts today. Today, we're going to give out the keyword during this interview. Between 8 and 8:30, we're giving out a keyword. And at some point between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, you're going to hear this sounder. Be the first to call in and give us the keyword, and you will win a spot in the tournament and a chance to shoot hoops at Chase Center Monday, March 3rd, when the tournament will happen. You have 45 opportunities over the next 3 weeks to participate. 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, you want to listen. And each show will have a slot to give away for the next 3 weeks. All right, Shasky, let's not waste any time here. We have the president and CEO of the San Francisco Giants on the line here, Larry Bear, who's been part of the ownership group since 1992. Of course, 3 World Series championships in 2010, 2012, 2014. A hell of a run from 97 to 03. Now the Giants are trying to get back on track. Larry joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Larry, good morning. What the heck made you want to call this show today?
How are you doing? Well, we're one step closer to baseball season, right? We all love football and basketball. Basketball's going strong, but after yesterday, we're one step closer. Can you feel spring training? Can you smell it a little bit?
I can. I was trying to sell people. Now, Shasky loved me to sell me on the 2025 Giants. They did a terrible job at doing that. I think I sold the audience on the 2025 Giants. How would you sell the 2025 Giants to the fan base here, Larry, in the Bay Area?
Well, I have to say, number one, kind of working alongside Buster Posey and seeing Buster at work, it's been a real joy. He, I think, is bringing a tremendous mindset to the job. So that's the first thing, because that's a you know, that's brand new in the roster construction in 2025 is with Buster at the helm. And, you know, we've, I think as you've watched, we've made two big moves, but, and, you know, you might say, well, how come you haven't made 22 moves? But the reality is Buster's learning the personnel. He was Zach Manasian, who has been with the Giants the last many years and is a very strong baseball person. And they're really looking for folks that can make a difference and carry culture into the clubhouse as well as big performance on the field. And I think with Willie Adames and Justin Verlander, those are two huge additions for us. And really no subtractions per se. So we're feeling good, and you know there could be more moves going into spring training. Not going to promise that, and off we go. So we feel like the young pitchers are going to develop. Some of the young players we saw just flashes of last year, you know, their potential, like Ramos and Fitzgerald, and then you have Jung-Hoo Lee returning, which in a way is an addition, right? Because it was just a crusher when Jung-Hoo went down very early in the season last year. So that's a little bit of a summary of where we are.
Yeah. You know, Larry, you referenced kind of your love of the other sports. We've seen you at other games, right? Bonte's seen you out at Chase Center. You're a local guy. You're like me and B. You know, like, you want to see all the teams do well. There's no doubt about it. But obviously, like, I love baseball, and I know you love baseball. You love these Giants. Right now, it feels like, you know, the ball's up in the air. You know, the Warriors are kind of in a little dry spell. The Niners, obviously, are reloading right now. And the Giants have been, let's call it what it is, they've been down the last few years. How important is it for you, because of how invested you are with the San Francisco Giants, to get the Giants back on top and to be in the pole position here in terms of the forefront of the focus of the Bay Area fan? How important is that for you?
I think it's very important for me personally, but, you know, it's also very important for the fans. I mean, I think it all starts and stops with two things, and Buster and I have talked about this a lot. It's the fans and the players, and it's super important. You know, all of the rest of us are just doing what we can to bake the cake the right way. But, you know, for the fans, it's super important. And I go back, you know, Bonte mentioned, you know, going back to 92, our group. You know, we've been in the hunt pretty much every year. A couple of years have been tough. Yeah, but that's 32 years, right, with this ownership group. But the whole thing is we expect to be in the playoffs. We expect to win the division. We shoot to win the division, but certainly to compete for a championship in October. So the last, you know, 21, we won 107 games, but the last 3 years have not been where we want them to be, and we're gonna go hard to get right back there. And you know, a lot of things that are interesting as we've learned, and it's changed some. The team you start the season with in April is not necessarily the team you end the season with in September. That happened in some ways, you know, maybe a decade ago when we won the championships, but not so much today's world. I remember back in 2012. 162 game season, right? Mm-hmm. Guess how many starts the 5-man rotation took of the 162?
That was the year Lincecum kind of got pulled out of the rotation by the end.
Yep.
Zito came back. Kane had hurt his arm later on in the year. Man, I don't even. You tell me. I would love to know.
No, it's the other way from what you're theorizing. Actually, 159 of 162.
Wow.
Meaning that. Yeah, so it was so you got to have some things go the right way in that respect as well, and, wow. And we did. So you know, we're hoping with our young arms this year going to be really important. But we do believe that, you know, nobody's talking about Robbie Ray. He's coming back. He's a former Cy Young winner, and with him and Webb and Verlander and Hicks and the bevy of young starters, so we feel like we're going to be, you know, we have a chance to really move. Take big steps this year.
We're talking to President and CEO of the San Francisco Giants, Larry Bear, here on the River Islands guest line. As the Giants get ready for spring training in the year of 2025, Buster Posey running the show as well. He's in our front office. But Larry, you mentioned the 2021 season, 107 wins. It was a dream season. You played the Dodgers in the first round, losing a dramatic game 5. But since that point, the Giants are 20, 240 and 246, six games under 500, and obviously not making the playoffs. And the Q rating may be at an all-time low with the fan base right now. What are some of the things you've learned over the last 3 years that you could take away to maybe not make the same mistake? Is it being too analytically driven? Is it too many lineup changes here? What is the biggest thing you learned over the last 3 years, Larry?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think, you know, because being 500 team is not where we want to be at all. I'll just say that. And, you know, analytics, that it's kind of a broad brush. Everybody says, right. Well, analytics, you know, are you in or out or middle or whatever?
It's never going anywhere. It's always been a part of the game, right?
Yeah, and there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and there are 30 teams involved in analytics, okay? And if we're not involved in analytics, we're missing information. So you're going to be involved in analytics. I do think that going forward and talking to Buster and the team, and this is really, you know, the baseball operations, the way they're putting it together, I do believe that we, and you've seen it now in just some recent moves in both in the offseason and as we got toward the end of last season, do believe that the value of having players out there every day, you mentioned about platoons, et cetera, the value of having players out there every day. I mean, Matt Chapman, I mean, you got to get a crane to get him, pull him off the field. Yeah, he's going to play 162 games if he possibly can. Willy Adames played 161 games last year with the Brewers with the playoff team. Jung Hoo Lee is an everyday player. So we're going to see a lot more of that, I think, as we move forward. We think that's a good recipe, a better recipe. And maybe a little bit, you know, Bomell is not a big fan of openers. Sometimes circumstances dictate that you have to do that. So I think some of those things that you could argue are driven by analytics, there's also just the human element that we'll probably see more of this year. And I think that also, you know, we talked about earlier the fans and, you know, 500 team is not what the fans want. I think that the fans want to fall in love with their players. Mm-hmm. And to fall in love with your players, you know, you're playing every day, or you're Logan Webb and you want a complete game.
Yeah.
And he led the league in innings last year. So I think you're going to see those elements. That doesn't mean we're not going to use information to our benefit,
right,
but it does mean that, you know, a bit of a different approach.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on with the Matt Chapman stuff. Like, I coach a lot of kids, Steven Ravetcher's son, for example, and it's like, these kids want someone that they can buy a T-shirt jersey of, and it's been very difficult the last couple of years. A lot of these kids go back to the Crawford era, you know, and like they want their next guy, and so I'm looking over at it, and I know, like you, we hate the Dodgers, you know, and I know you're competing with them, but the gap between the Giants and the Dodgers, it's, and I get it, right now is not our time, but I'm looking at what they've done with their farm system, what they've done in international signing, the crazy trades that they've made, the spending that they've had in the open market. Do you guys think you're really competing with them currently? I know this is a bigger, you know, baseball question, but that's our rival. And I'm beaten down over how great they are right now. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I represent a lot of Giants fans when I say, I just kind of throw my hands up and I go, I can't believe what the juggernaut the Dodgers have become.
Look, they've made a lot of good bets. No pun intended. And, with Mookie, and they've done good work. We can't focus on them. And I know it sounds like a pretty trite thing to say, but right, we've got to focus on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, there are 30 clubs, the years that we did win championships, nobody thought we'd be there at 12 and 14. Years that we made the playoffs, nobody thought. I think that you've got to look at this in a measured way. And we ended up being a 500 team last year. Our focus this year is progressing, you know, dramatically. Can we turn 80 wins into 90 wins? We think we can. 92 wins, 95, whatever. And see where the chips fall where they may. We don't play the Dodgers 162 times. We play them now, whatever it is, 12 times. So, we'll have other teams as well. And, I just think that we see if our progression goes the way we're pushing it to go, then, you know, we're fine with, competing with the Dodgers, and we should be okay.
It's time right now to give out the keywords you need to know to win a spot in the knockout tournament. The keyword is knockout. Again, the key word is knockout. Listen between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, and when you hear the sounder, be the first to call in and give the keyword, and you will be on your way to Chase Center to play in the 95-70 game knockout tournament. Again, the keyword is knockout. As we're talking to Larry Beard, the CEO and president of the San Francisco Giants here on the River Islands guest line. So, Larry, I know a lot of fans, we love the Willie Adames move, the richest contract you guys have ever given out to a free agent. 7 years, a lot of money, no full no trade clause. Corbin Burns, I know you guys missed out on. Is there, with that money maybe, that you didn't give Corbin Burns? Giants fans are asking about a guy like Pete Alonso. Now, I don't know the tampering rules in baseball, but would you guys be hesitant to make another big money move like that before spring training?
Yeah, we can't talk about players, players in free agents or under contract elsewhere. I would say this. I would say that one of the things we've done through the years that has served us well, and it kind of goes back to the point of, the team in April is not the same team in September, is we will be looking to improve the team, not just before the bell rings for the first pitch in Cincinnati on March 27th, I think it is. But before that, we will be, we'll be looking at things before that to tweak the team. But during the season, more and more, you're finding moves get made. Obviously, people focus on the trade deadline. I'm not saying that we're going to, saving a bunch of cash for the trade deadline, but there's ways you can improve the team as you go through the season. It's possible as we get into spring training, depending on who's signed and who isn't signed, we can make moves before spring training. But I do think that, we want to let some of the players that began to emerge last year, some of the young players who the fans like, and you talk about buying jerseys, some of these players like the Ramoses and like the Fitzgeralds and potentially like the Birdsongs and others, could be those players. So we don't want to stop their development as well. We believe we have some players coming, Bryce at first base. I mean, there's some others. So we want to do that blend, and we don't want to put somebody on the team that's going to push back somebody who may develop. Matos in right field. I mean, there's folks that Buster and the team are excited about.
Yeah, and you brought up Bryce, and I think we just, got to ask about him. Like, I'm watching in the division. I remember when Fernando Tatis was 20 years old playing shortstop opening day. You guys were down in San Diego, and it was like, wow, this guy is unbelievable. Last year, Jackson Merrill, spent the whole year with them at 20 years old playing center field. What's the plan for Bryce? I know one guy can't save a franchise, all right? It wasn't just Buster. It was Timmy and Kane and all the different guys and a lot of veterans. But this guy, there is a lot on this kid's plate, fair or not. And it feels like the weight of the development of the farm over the next 5 to 10 years is going to be predicated on whether he hits or not. I feel like there's a lot going on. What is your guys' plan for 2025 for this young man?
Yeah, Shasky, I mean, look, we don't want to put too much on him. That's not fair. But I will hearken back to a young man that came up first in 2009 named Buster Posey, right? And everybody, and he was on everybody's radar, right? He was a fifth overall pick. Everybody was talking about him, Buster Posey. Well, there's an old farm system out there. But, Buster had a big impact. The thing that I think we did well, this is Brian Sabian, and Bobby Evans, who I think that was, and Ned Colletti at the beginning of it, was we brought him along, kind of at the right pace, right? So he touched every level of the farm system. And then Buster, when he came in briefly in 2009. And then in 2010 on the team, and we traded Benji Molina and off we went. I think, ideally that's just looking back, that might be a kind of a textbook way to do it. So, I don't want to make any predictions, and obviously there's health and there's lots of things factor in, but the reality is now Bryce is going to be in AAA this year. And, as you look at the development, could it be this year? Could it be next year? And to your point though, there are a lot of guys down there, and you can't say the whole farm system rides on his development, but you have somebody that's sort of universally viewed the way he's viewed. It's exciting for the fans, and that again, going back to one of your earlier comments, which I obviously click into, double click into, is, you want fans to fall in love with the players and want to buy jerseys, et cetera. And the easiest way to do that is to have a young player that you know will be with you for 6 years. It's really tough to get a player who is in a, who is a 1 year opt out. It's hard to, how do you fall in love with a player? And we'll, I'm not saying we will never do the opt outs, but how do you fall in love with a player if he's got a 2 year deal with an opt out after year one? Yep.
Totally agree.
You preach it to totally the choir agree. Here, Larry. I know you got to run real quick. 30 seconds are left. A lot of fans still ask about Marco Luciano. Is he still in the long term plans for the San Francisco Giants?
I think so. It was interesting. Marco, I wasn't down there, but we had our fan fest in San Jose on Saturday. He was down there with Willie Adames, and I think there was just a story out today. I saw the headline where there's really, I think, a lot of hope that he can, that Willie will have an influence on him and some of the other players have an influence on. Remember, Marco is young. He's 22 years old. Feels like he's been around for a while. That's because he was signed as an international player when he was 16. So, some of the tough early bumps and bruises you're going to get playing the game, psychological bumps and bruises you're going to get playing the game that everybody gets, he got at the major league level last year, and it was tough, but we're still very high on him and looking at the right position for him, and we think an influence like Willie could have a really good influence on him.
All right, we can't wait to see Willie Adames in a new look, San Francisco Giants. Not a bad sale job, Larry.
Thank you,
not a
Larry.
Bad sale job. I don't know if it was better than mine, but not bad, Larry.
Hey, don't be strangers. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
We'll talk soon, Larry. We'll
really
talk soon.
It.
Appreciate the time today, brother.
I'm so ready for baseball.
CEO and president of the San Francisco Giants here on the Morning Rush. 888-957-957. Gerald, Mark and Berkeley will let you reply to that. Don't forget the keyword is knockout. You know what? Let Mark and Berkeley on the air. What do you think, Mark and Berkeley? Did Larry sell you? Did he get you ready for baseball?
I think I like the way he sounds. He sounds honest. But my first game was Willie McCovey in 1972, and that was the best team I ever saw. I just want to know what you guys are going to do, man. I want to see. I don't care if they win or lose. I love baseball, but I want to see the Giants again like they used to be,
Look, baseball for me, I'm going to miss my dad because this is like another season without him.
If they win or lose. We all care if they win or lose. Did you hear Larry Bear? He cares if they win or lose.
But Fonte, there is something about the journey of a baseball season. Not to go all Marty Lurie on you, but
there is
something for me, sitting up on the couch and doing driving around or hanging out at the house or whatever it is, doing dishes, having the game on every single day. It's a companion. And texting with my dad and my brother and my cousins and my friends. And there's just something about the misery and the joy of a regular season, whether your team's good, bad, whatever. Like game 74, a play at second base, and you just lose your mind. I miss baseball in the worst way. I miss
it. It's coming back soon.
I know you do, too.
It's coming back soon. It's coming back soon. I could wait on it. With the way the Dodgers are making moves.
So Saturday, I was out at West Sunset in the morning. I brought the little guy out there. We had a 10U practice, and the grass was cut, and it was just nice and wet, just right. And the dirt was perfect. And West Sunset Diamond number 3 looked great, and the gloves were popping. I sniffed the glove with the dirt and the grass and everything. There's just something about baseball in the spring, man.
Listen, I know the boss man doesn't want us to go into it, but I had to look at the YouTube chat. During the interview, 510 Steve, that's the slogan for the Giants 2025. Don't be a stranger. Come visit us.
I actually like that.
Don't be a stranger. Hey, 510 Steve, you need royalties. By the way, apparently Yogi's brother is in the chat. His brother, the same one that owes me a jersey. Yogi's brother's name is Raider in the Trenches. Can I get my damn jersey, Raider in the Trenches?
Yogi in the Bay, Raider in the Trenches?
Yeah, they're brothers, apparently. Can I get my damn jersey, please?
Going to get a Mike Yastrzemski jersey? Or
no, I want me a... no, I want a... I don't want a baseball jersey. I want... I got enough baseball jerseys. I got the Willie Mays. I got the
Luis Robert
White Sox jersey.
White Sox jersey?
No, I'd rather be the White Sox. Give me the other orange or black. I want a Audie Ruschman jersey.
Adam Jones, now a special assistant to the GM there for Baltimore.
Yeah,
smart. He was one of the greatest Orioles in the last 20 years.
Who is going to pay for Gunnar Henderson on the open market?
Hypotheticals.
The Orioles. Dodgers. They got a new owner. He said he's going to spend money.
We'll see.
They did it on money. Burns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got a
break.
Or
Santander.
Santander. All right, stop. Love it. Relax. I love you. You did a horrible sale job. Me and Larry brought you back. We brought you back.
I learned
2025
best.
Slogan. I do like this. Don't be a stranger. Come visit us. That's a hell of a slogan. All right, more coming up. Brought to you by MB Jesse Penny.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
All right, Draymond, the Warriors back on the floor tomorrow night against the Utah Jazz. They'll have a back-to-back against Utah and Oklahoma City as the Warriors got smoked by the Lakers. Saturday night, the Warriors are 22-23. Anthony Davis just too much down low, way too much. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block shot. LeBron was LeBron, 25 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds. He only attempted 1 3-point shot Saturday. And Stephen Curry, for the first time in his career, when attempting at least 8 field goals in a half, goes scoreless. He went scoreless in the second half Saturday night as he's seeing a bevy of bodies just come through and double him, trap him, face guard him. And yes, does he need some help? Absolutely. Absolutely. They need some more spacing. We'll get to the Warriors a little heavier tomorrow, but that was a depressing loss Saturday against the LA Lakers. Warriors just can't gain traction right now during this 9-game stretch, and you get concerned about them moving forward here. OKC, Phoenix on deck. They got a road trip before the All-Star break. Jeez Louise. But we'll get back to the Giants. And don't forget, at some point this segment, we will prompt you to call in with the keyword to win a spot in the knockout tournament. Make sure you are locked in and have that keyword ready. Make sure you're locked in because you never know when you may hear the sounder, Shasky. You never know. But Larry Bear just joined us. What was your big takeaway from Larry?
Well, Larry sounded very rejuvenated. It felt like a, oh my gosh, first day of pitchers and catchers reporting for the man himself.
He's ready to roll.
And obviously he's ready to roll. You asked him.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To sell the Giants, and the first thing that he did was talk about Buster Posey.
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's been a lot of people saying the Buster Posey move was one to put a shiny little object out there for Giants fans to distract them from where they're at. And while there might be some levels of truth to that, I don't think Buster Posey is wasting his time if he's not involved.
Mm.
I look at the people who really care, who've made a lot of money in sports, who come back to sports to coach or to run an organization. They don't do it to be figureheads. There's many other things that they could do in their life where they can get trotted around almost ceremoniously.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why he's here. Now, does it help that he's a former player who everyone loves? Of course it does. And it's great PR. But I think that he's definitely involved in a lot of things.
Yeah, he seems rejuvenated.
Right?
He does.
And I'm going back to the Buster thing. Like, it's interesting. Like, you work with Chris Mullin, and there was a point in time when Chris Mullin ran the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Some people liked him. Some people hated him as a GM. I think that he had one of the best trades midseason in Warrior history. I don't even know if that's up for debate. But ultimately, he ended up moving on from the position. When you're an all-time legend and you take on the task of running the team you played for, the only thing you can do is kind of ruin your own legacy.
Well you can, but... And I hear you. You make a great point because
Mullin
did come back.
It's a lot of risk.
It is a lot of risk. It's tough.
He's all in. It's
right.
He's all in. Going with
Yeah. No doubt. But the thing with Buster Posey that he has working for him is that the ownership group is all in.
Yes.
You can't say the same about the Warriors before Joe Lacob. Chris Cohen was not all in, and that's what ultimately drove him and Pete D'Alessandro away. Was that Robbie Ryle and Chris Cohen want to do things their way. And they ruined this team, and they ruined the franchise, which Joe Lake about to step in and buy, and the rest is history. But Larry Bear, there's no question that Giants ownership for the now, especially now, like, because you could question Greg Johnson the last few years, were they all in? Well, they were all in on the Farhan plan. And the Farhan plan didn't seem like they're all in, and Larry just touched on that. Signing guys to two-year deals with the opt-out, one-year deals with an opt-out, that's not good business. You can't fall in love with a player like that. And you talk about baseball being 162 out of all the major sports. Baseball is that one sport where you do need a player to love and go on a journey with. You do need to feel emotionally connected to a team to watch a game day in and day out, day in and day out. You want to have your jersey. You want to have your panda hat or whatever it is, or your giraffe hat. You want to love baseball. You want to love it hard. And how do you do that? Is by having players that you know are going to be in uniform for the next 3 to 4 years. Like, Oriole fans know they've got Gunnar and Adley for a couple years. They got Jackson Holliday, right? The Brewers, they know that Jackson Chirino is in that lineup. Braves fans, they know that Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr., Matt Olson, they're going to be in that lineup every day. And they know they're going to be Braves for a long time. Same thing with the Dodger fans. For the Giants, the last 2 years, we don't know what's what. We don't know if this guy's going to be here or not. We don't know if he's going to play every single day. So getting guys who could play every single day, where you like right now the Warriors are having that issue, right? 26 different starting lineups. Guys are driving to Chase Center. They don't know if they're going to get 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, or whether or not starting or not.
Yeah.
You know, or getting the DMP. And that's been the case with the Giants the last 3 years, where guys are driving to the yard saying, am I going to get pinch hit for in the second inning? Or am I going to play getting 4 at-bats or 5 at-bats? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's what Larry's kind of saying. It's like, look, we're going to move off that model. We're trying to get guys who are going to be here every single day. And so far, you get Willie Adames. You get Matt Chapman. They're hoping Jung-Hoo Lee is healthy. But that's three everyday players right there. And I'm still waiting on Jung-Hoo Lee. I want to see if he's a major leaguer or not. But knowing that, hey, he's going to be in the lineup every day, okay, cool. At least I get to see what he's like for at least a three-month sample size.
I think there's a trade in the works. He referenced Marco Luciano.
Yep.
We're really excited about him. They don't even know what position he is. And that's not his fault. That's the organization who does development at the farm level. That's their fault. And I think the insistence on playing him at shortstop, you know, has really set him back in terms of his, you know, knowing where he's going to play. I think he's the odd man out. I don't know what they're going to do with Doval. Maybe they bring him back again this year and just kind of like see where it goes. But I think they have ammunition to make a move.
Yeah,
I really do. And I want them to be bold in the month of February and make a big deal and get in on somebody.
Do you want Pete Alonso?
So here, like, the Pete Alonso thing's interesting. Like, I don't like, I know Bryce is playing first base at some point, right? Yep. And he's probably going to play some DH. I don't love signing a guy in free agency who can really only play first base and DH if I know my number one prospect in my organization does the exact same thing. So, would I take Pete? Of course I'd take Pete Alonso. Yeah. But I also understand there is some redundancy there, right? And what's the easiest thing to find? A bopper who can't play defense.
Right.
Like, those guys are always available, right? So it's not the greatest use of money, but they're so bad. If I told you, not bad, but their lineup is so that if I put Pete Alonso in the middle of that lineup, and I said, Alonso, Adames, Chapman, wow, Ramos, now we're cooking with something.
Yep.
Now we're cooking with something. Nothing's going to flip, though, big picture, until all the young guys that we've been hearing about actually ball out.
Yep.
That's when teams turn this thing around. You know, we could talk about free agency and trades, and those things are great. But this 16-year-old that they signed, who's supposed to be the best international free agent, like, all right, well, what are we, 3-4 years away from him?
Right.
Like, he better be the real deal.
Yeah,
right,
you know, Bryce Eldridge,
I hate to say this, it's a lot on this kid's plate. Yep. This is why I said to him, like, you better be the real deal. And he was like, look, you can't put the whole farm on him. Well, no, what I'm saying is he's a microcosm for us giving you the benefit of the doubt.
I do believe that Bryce Eldridge has the most pressure on him, and he hasn't taken one major league at bat yet. And the reason why I say he has the most pressure, and by the way, 415 saying that listening to Larry has made him consider buying season tickets again, which is phenomenal.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. All it took was one Larry Bear interview on the morning roast. Wow. He did sell you.
Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stray. Come visit. Don't be a stranger.
Such a great
call.
Come
visit us. I do like that 2025 slogan. 510 Steve, you get all the royalties for that. I don't know if you will, but We know where it came from. We know who came up with that slogan. But one thing about the Giants with Bryce Eldridge, I do believe he has the most pressure on him because we're dying to see not only an everyday player who has power, but a homegrown prospect who's going to represent, okay, this guy gives us a puncher's chance against our rivals from Southern California, the Dodgers and the Padres. This guy gives us a puncher's chance in the middle of the lineup to where he can flip a game with one swing. Bryce Eldridge, I think, has the most pressure for a Giants prospect. Did Lenson come out of this much pressure?
He was called the franchise. By Barry Bonds.
So he had a lot of pressure, too. Posey had a lot of pressure. Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, they had a lot of pressure. Matt Cain.
I remember when he was a high school draft pick, and there were so many things made about Matt Cain.
So
especially after Jerome Williams and Hennessy and Correa and all those guys, Foppert, a lot of those guys didn't exceed the expectations.
Right. So I do think Bryce Eldridge had so much built-in pressure that no matter Larry says saying, hey, we don't want to put too much on his shoulders. Well, with the fan base, there is a lot on the shoulders. He has to be the real deal. He's got to be a can't-miss prospect. He's got to be a guy from day one who reminds us. I'm expecting big things from Bryce Eldridge, the way he's been talked about.
If I put him to the side and I gave you these other three names, which one are you taking as the most pressure? Elliot Ramos was an all-star last year, first outfielder all-star from your own homegrown system since Chili Davis. He's one guy. I think he has a lot of pressure. I think Kyle Harrison, the lefty, has a lot of pressure considering, the expectations, the fact that they were so adamant they were never going to move him. And then Hayden Birdsong showing the promise that he did. Of those three, who has the most pressure heading for this year's team, who has to be good for them to be good?
You can oscillate between Hayden Birdsong and Elliot Ramos because Ramos tailed off in the last 2 months of the season. And I'll bring up the numbers here in just a second. But Birdsong,
I think it was five home runs in the second half.
But Birdsong as well, he has to be legit in this rotation. Now, Logan Webb, you know what you're going to get from him.
Yes.
He's going to be a league leader in innings pitched, and he's going to keep you in a lot of baseball games. Robbie Ray, I actually like the prospect of Robbie Ray coming back. I think he has his stuff. Now he gets some more time to rest it, coming off of Tommy John surgery. But Birdsong, because I think he's catapulted in a lot of Giants fans' minds that they expect more from him than Kyle Harrison at this point.
Really?
They do. I think Giants fans do.
Interesting.
Like Kyle Harrison, he left a sour taste in our mouth last season. Now, maybe it's the pressure of being
a
homegrown player. Numbers were very similar, but the eyes will tell you.
I thought Hayden was better.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think Birdsong, but I'm going to go with Ramos because being a homegrown outfielder and coming up and trying to start and being that guy and the run that he went on last season with the 22 home runs and 72 RBIs, there's a lot of pressure on Elliot Ramos, who is, 24 years old?
Yeah, he's a little older.
He's 25. He's 25 years old. So I think there's more pressure on Ramos than if you take Bryce Eldridge off the board.
It felt like heading into the year, Jung-Hoo Lee had a lot of pressure. Snell, Chapman, that's a good one. Right? Jorge Soler, all these guys were wow, we spent a ton of money. And I think we all know what Matt Chapman is. He's like a 240, 250 mm-hmm. hitter, going to hit some home runs, play great defense, and is going to strike out a lot. But yeah, he's a good player. He's a really good player. Adames, I think there'll be some fascination with him early on. I think a lot of Giants fans, like myself, have only watched him a couple of times, if we're being quite frank. And then, the Jung-Hoo Lee thing is interesting. The guy played 40 games last year.
There's a lot of pressure on him, too.
40 games.
A lot of pressure.
You look at his contract, it ticks up.
Oh, it ticks up. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. Believe me, it's going up and up and up. So, the Pete Alonso deal, and I would be interested. Look, I just know I just said I'm contradicting myself here.
Yeah.
I don't want platooning. I don't want opt-outs in these deals. But knowing that Bryce Eldridge plays first base, I wouldn't mind giving Pete Alonso, who's probably looking for a long-term deal. I say, hey, Pete, look, if you don't want to sign long-term with the Giants, here's what I'll do. I'll give you a 5-year deal, but I'll give you the opt-out after 2. Because by that time,
better be giving him 90 to 100 million guaranteed over 2.
Probably. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but and the money will work itself out. However, the way I look at it is I got somebody who could school Bryce Eldridge on being an everyday baseball player. The day-to-day operations of being a slugger in the middle of a lineup, he can learn from Pete Alonso. hey, this is how you go about your business. This is how you take your reps in the cage. This is how you travel. And just having him alongside there. And then Pete Alonso, for his sake, Pete Alonso can opt out and get more money and say, you know what? Okay, it's worked out for 2 years. Now I could get me another long-term deal after getting short-term money. I wouldn't be opposed to that with Pete Alonso. Oh, yeah. It's time to call the contest line and be the first one to call in with the keyword. Contest line, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. And with the keyword, you will win a spot in our knockout contest at Chase Center Monday, March 3rd. You must be 18. You must be a California resident. So this is the first spot we're giving away. Again, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. You will win a spot in the knockout tournament. And the next time to win is at noon on during Steiny and Guru Show. And we'll be doing this all week. So keep listening for your chance. We'll do it for the next 3 weeks. 415-523-4652.
If I said to Giants fans, sports fans, forget Giants fans, sports fans, all of a sudden we get a breaking news sounder, Pete Alonso, 3-year deal, $150 million. Hypothetically, right? I think infinitely, like right then and there, instantly, the Giants become, wow, I kind of have to watch them. Now you got Chapman, Adamas, Alonso, Ramos, all in the same lineup. That's how you capture the audience. And I keep coming back to this. I know you and I have kicked this around. It sounds like an exhausting topic. Right now, the Niners aren't going to do anything because they got the draft coming up. Like, there won't be a lot of movement. We'll get the Purdy contract, but the draft, we'll see. You know, it's a long way away to August. The Warriors, I don't know. Now, maybe they make a big move and they grab the headlines. The ball's up in the air for these teams. And if the Giants were smart from a business standpoint, you want to capture our hearts in April, May, June, July, you make a move like going to get Pete Alonso, and you just kind of see where it goes.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great move. Business-wise.
This region loves winners. It's kind of a front-running region.
Big time.
You win, they will come.
What does that lineup sound like if I say to you, Jung-Hoo Lee, Adamas, Chapman, Alonso, Ramos? Like, that would be their best lineup since 2012.
I tell you what the lineup says. This is the lineup.
Well, I know where you're going to go.
Jung-Hoo Lee, Adamas, Pete Alonso, Bryce Eldridge, Matt Chapman, Elliot Ramos.
That.
I think you got to start Bryce Eldridge from day one.
I just don't think they're going to do it. I agree with you.
Yeah, I would start.
They're
going to
probably go Wilmer and Lamont Webb.
But it's also up to Bryce Eldridge to have a big spring training,
no doubt,
and pressure the Giants to bring him up on day one and do everything that he can to put pressure on them to say, you know what, I'm starting with the big league club. When you play Cincinnati, I'm going to be on that lineup card. That is up to Bryce Eldridge. Go out there and ball out in spring training and make it happen. So 888-957-9570. Your thoughts on Larry Bear and what he had to say. No more platooning. They want to move away from that model. They believe in their pitching staff. They believe in Buster Posey. And they're not worried about the Dodgers. And I think that's a good approach to have. You know, I'm not just kissing ass here with the Giants or whatnot just because we had Larry Bear on. I do think you're in a position to where the Dodgers are making all these moves, and they're solidifying their lineup and their bullpen and their pitching staff. They're light years ahead of you, better than you right now. There's no doubt. I believe the Padres are light years better than the Giants right now, even though they just lost Jerks and Profar, and even though they lost Tanner Scott and Yates. The Diamondbacks right now, I believe, are better than the Giants. So what can you do? Control what you control. Control how you play every single day. And when you look up at the standings, maybe you're in it in July. Maybe you're in it in August. Heck, the Diamondbacks and Padres were in it in September against the Dodgers. They had to hang on for dear life to win that division. So control what you control. You can't worry about the Dodgers. You can't lose sleep over them. And when you play them, you put your best foot forward to try to kick their ass.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hear the whole, like, you got to run your own race, and I agree with that. But also, like, if you're running your own race and everyone's lapping you, you got to up your training. You know what I mean? You got to adjust something. And so, like, I hear everybody on run your own race and just focus on what you can focus on. And I also think it's okay to be bold and swing big. You know, whether it's an Alonso.
Are you swinging big on Alonso? He did say.
The guy I keep coming back to, which I think there's a Mike Trout trade somewhere down the line, like a Vladdy Jr., Mike Trout. There's some trade. Well, I don't know what it is.
Is it Vlad Jr.? Is it?
I don't know. There's a trade in their back pocket.
Because they need one. It feels like they're one big piece away from really getting Giant fans to buy in.
I mean,
they're one big piece. And I don't even know if Corbin Burns would have done that. Corbin Burns would have been nice, but he also plays every 5 days. I think to move the needle, to move a fan, to say, okay, I'm going to the yard today. I'm locked in.
Would you take Bregman, who's just sitting there? And he says, hey, I'll play second base. Because he said that he would do that for certain teams.
I don't know if he'd do that for us, but I'd take him.
I would, too.
But you know what? I'd rather have Alonzo.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the polar bear.
I want to. This is going to sound so dumb. I do want to see Fitzgerald. I would take Bregman over Fitzgerald, but I do want to see Fitzgerald. Yeah, I was intrigued with what I saw. The guy had power last year, dude.
Now, Helio Ramos from the 1st of July. He batted .254. His on-base percentage was .291. His OPS was .735. Hit 12 jacks, 35 RBIs, 15 walks, and 5 stolen bases.
He struck out a lot in the second half. It felt like the
79 strikeouts and 306 plate appearances from July 1st.
Yeah, that's 150 over a full season plus. You know what I mean? That's not good.
Not good.
He needs to put the ball in play more. But I would say this, like that was him adjusting to the adjustment or whatever. He still batted 12 points over league average. League average right now is somewhere between .238, .241. That's league average batting averages right now. So .255, though not as good as what he first started with, still on this team,
right?
Not bad.
We'll get back to football in the 9 o'clock hour, but 888-957-9570, baseball fans, Giants fans, Pete Alonso, you in or out on that? And what will make you go to the yard? Now, we've been playing a little game. Sell me on the 2025 Giants. I think Shasky and Lubbock did a horrible job selling. They made me go the other way.
We're not the Marlins.
I said no to garlic fries after they gave me their pitch. I said, the hell with that. I watched on the couch. But after Spadoni and I, we had our presentation. He was my John Herrera.
There you go. I was the hype man.
You're the hype man, John Herrera. Hey, Protector, you got everybody sign in. Everybody sign in. We had the whiteboard. And I thought we sold Love in the Shasky in the 2025 Giants. And then Larry Bear came in, and he did his sell job. But what is it going to take you to get to the yard this season? Is it a Pete Alonso move? Is it an Alex Bregman move?
Trades are hard.
Have they done enough to sell you on this season? 888-957-9570. 707 says they need to increase the size of the crab sandwich, though. Crab's expensive, man. You got to do what you got
to
do.
I just went to a crab feed on Sunday.
How was that?
Cecilia's. Oh, my
Sunday
God.
Sunday or Saturday?
Yesterday? Saturday night.
Saturday night?
It was delicious.
Was it plain garlic butter?
We had both.
Oh, my God.
And then they had the warm butter that they brought to everyone's table.
Oh, that warm butter.
Oh, my God.
You dip the crab meat and it just goes crazy.
So good. They had the garlicky butter crab, and then they had the chilled, with
did
nothing.
Did you take Baby LJ?
What?
Did you take Baby LJ?
No, we babysit her. My niece came over and watched them. I'm not joking, B. I had a plate of shells at the end. I think I ate a whole tray by myself. I'm not even kidding.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at that at all.
I'm not even kidding. And then when I was done, I did what my grandpa does. I looked around. I was like, Michelle, I'm ready to go.
And you left early?
We left.
You ate some crab and got out of there?
Dancing, and we were out of here.
Wow. Damn.
There's something about crab. It's not that filling in the sense of like I could just bottomlessly eat it.
Yeah. Crab is.
It's the best.
And so we go to this spot in Brisbane. It's called, I ran into some roasters there. They were fired up. It's in Brisbane, but they have ramen, sushi.
Oh.
But I have the soft shell crab ramen all the time.
Oh,
it's like legit.
Soft shell crab ramen.
Soft shell crab ramen. It's unbelievable. The soft shell fried is all in the ramen with the noodles and the sauce. But I need some crab. We got some crab legs in the freezer right now. You're making me want some warm butter tonight. I might have to do that. But there's no games on. There's no games on. NBA games, but no football games. NBA games. 415 says Justin Verlander sure as hell and get me to the yard. Yeah, you say that. And then when he pitches every fifth day, some of you horn dogs are going to be out there saying, yeah, I'm going to go see Verlander. Wink, wink.
Well, here's what I would say about Verlander. And just as someone who watches every day and every game like you, if I just say Landon Roop is starting tonight or Justin Verlander starting tonight.
Yeah, you're going to see Justin.
Yeah,
you'll pull up.
Forget pulling up. I'm leaning forward on my couch.
Mm.
Like, it's just more watchable.
Ichika Sushi House in Brisbane. Ichika Sushi House.
Ichika, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad. It's in the cut. It's in the cut. Damn, I want Pete Alonso now. I do want Pete.
The polar bear would be big selling point.
I want
People
Pete.
Would love that.
I want
polar
Pete
bear
back.
Hats all
He's
in the
lingering.
Crowd.
He's lingering. What is the latest on him? He's
sitting there. Now the Mets are trying to make a deal for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because Toronto has struck out on everyone, and then they overpaid for Santander.
Cone leaves the door open, but can see Mets moving forward without Alonso. And Scott Boras is Pete Alonso's agent.
Yeah. Did you see the new Mets jerseys that were released yesterday?
I did like them. The blue ones?
Well, first off, they used the old New York cursive font.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But it's like a two-button pullover. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but it's interesting. I like them. A lot of people were ripping them. They said they look like the Golden State Warrior. Remember those yellow jerseys they wore with the sleeves?
I kind of liked them. Mets New York, I'm pulling up the blue uniforms now. Blue uniforms, because they've gone blue before. I like the old 80s Daryl Strawberry.
Well, the gray ones with the stripes and that said New York in blue, those were the cool ones.
I've always been a sucker for the Howard Johnson, Daryl Strawberry,
Hojo.
Uniforms there. But the Mets, the blue ones here, I'm seeing Francisco Lindor with them. They hit to me. They hit. Yeah, just two buttons there. Kind of looks like a pullover. Whatever. I'm not mad at them. People complain what they want to complain about. I mean, people complain it all the time. That's what we do in society today. We're going to complain no matter what. No matter what. Like right now, everybody's complaining about the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs just get calls. The Chiefs just get calls. But what nobody's talking about is the fact that the Buffalo Bills rushed that 4th-and-1. Again, it's the most important play up until that point to me, Shasky. It's 9:22 left in the game. Don Kincaid gets stopped. Maybe he gets the first down. But at that point, I'm saying to myself, okay, can I get a measurement? If they say no measurement, maybe they did that. They said no measurement. Okay, fine. It's 4th-and-1. I'm not snapping the ball with 26 seconds left on the play clock. I'm going to run a dummy count. I'm going to call a timeout or something to set up their proper formation to get the tush push in. That is on Buffalo to me. That is on Buffalo. But everybody's complaining about the officials. No. Players got to execute. And they didn't execute on that play.
If you were running the Buffalo Bills, do you just chalk it up? Like, I think about, like, the Niner fans and, you know, our guy's not good enough, whether it's the coach, the quarterback, whatever. If you're running the Bills, do you think your opinion of McDermott or the GM or the quarterback, does anything change this morning? Or is it, man, we're just running into a buzzsaw?
Well, I think we're just running into a buzzsaw. You know, one thing we haven't discussed either is Andy Reid. And his greatness, but like Nick Saban at Alabama. Remember Nick Saban, he beats all of his assistants. I think he lost to Kirby Smart twice and Jimbo Fisher once at Texas A&M. But he was dominant over his assistants. Lane Kiffin, whoever. It was like Sarkisian, you name it. He did lose to Sarkisian last year, so maybe four losses. But for the longest time, he was undefeated against his assistants. Nobody talks about Andy Reid's dominance over John Harbaugh and Sean McDermott. Especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Those are his former assistants. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Jacksonville. They beat Jacksonville in the playoff game. Andy Reid has done a good job against his assistants. And I would love to know what his record is against his assistants, especially in the playoffs. But he's had dominance over his assistants. So McDermott, to your point, there's nothing I can do. McDermott's the right coach.